this context, let me tell you one thing that might have been a good thing to render unto God: to have paid enough actual attention to His Word, to the things that He had said and done through the prophets and over the course of many centuries worth of miracles and teaching and guidance and providence for the nation of Israel.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast, which you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this insightful message.
This is a time of year when all of us are grateful that April 15th has slipped behind us. Taxes are paid, and we don't worry so much about that for a while again. But there are other ways in which we pay our dues, and we're used to that phrase. We pay dues, and we think of it in several different applications, I suppose. When you are the low man on the totem pole at work, you have dues to pay, which means that you will get the rottenest of schedules, the dirtiest of jobs, and the silliest of nicknames until somebody else comes along to be the low man on the totem pole. When you were the college freshman, at least when I was a college freshman, you had dues to pay. You had to wear the funny hat, and you might get rousted out of your dorm room at midnight for hazing or thrown into the campus fountain. When you belong to a civic organization, your dues are a little more dignified. You just send money to the national office so that you can use their name and have their umbrella insurance coverage and tax-exempt status and receive whatever other support that you get from the national organization. But you got to send your dues into them. And then the government, as citizens, we have dues to pay to our government. In many cases, the dues take the form of military service. In some cases, the dues take the form of volunteerism on civic and infrastructure projects. And in every case that I know, the dues to our governments take the form of taxes to be paid. And we must pay our dues or face the consequences. Back to the gospel according to Mark. And again, we're in the final week as things build toward the crucifixion. And Jesus is in Jerusalem. And now the Pharisees and the Herodians team up for a moment to try to trip Jesus up. Now, this is the second time in the course of the gospel of Mark that the Pharisees and the Herodians have teamed up. Once up in the north, and now down in the south, they're trying it again. And both times, it is an unusual thing for the Pharisees and the Herodians to team up. These men are like oil and water. They do not mix. The Pharisees are ultra-religious conservatives, and the Herodians are religiously very liberal, probably only nominally religious at all. The Pharisees are nationalist in their spirit, and the Herodians are what we would call these days globalist in their spirit. And the Pharisees absolutely opposed the idea of taxes from the Jewish nation going on up the chain to the Roman administration. But the Herodians absolutely favored that process of taxes from the Jewish nation going on up the chain to the Roman administration. The Herodians said, let me tell you what you get for your taxes. You get aqueducts that carry fresh water into the heart of the city. You get roads that are easy to travel on. And you get culture, by which they meant theater and athletic games and language and mathematics and all of those things. That's what the Herodians appreciated about the Romans and thought that they got for their taxes. The Pharisees said, let me tell you what you get for your taxes. You get oppression. You get soldiers who may force you to do things like carry their packs and hit you with a sword if you don't. You get the interference with our national religious life, and they build their fortress right up against the temple, which is a defilement by nature, and they get in the way of everything we want to do for our service to God. And you get humiliation, and you get to have to rub elbows with people that make you ceremonially unclean all the time. That's what you get for your taxes. These two groups were so ideologically different and opposed. What could possibly unite them for a team effort at this moment? And I will tell you what could. It is their mutual opposition to Jesus. Because they correctly recognized that Jesus was going to, if he was successful, explode both their programs and burn down their ideological houses. And they were correct about that. Jesus represented a threat to their base of power and their way of thinking and their core of values, because their core of values had strayed so far from what God had in mind. And I'm going to tell you, this is still true today. There are groups that would normally be enemies to each other, but who will unite in their opposition to Jesus Christ, because they still recognize that if you are far from God and you pursue an agenda in the opposite direction of his plan, Jesus is a threat to your agenda. So they unite. And they come to Jesus with this question about taxes. What does the Jewish law say? Are we allowed to pay these taxes, or should we withhold them and protest and either stage a revolt or take whatever consequences fall on us? What do you say? We know that you're a teacher of the truth. We know that you don't defer to men's opinions. You'll tell us straight. So tell us, do we pay these taxes to Rome, or do we not? Now, because it's the Pharisees and the Herodians, it has the appearance of two groups with diametrically opposed views having an argument, coming to Jesus, wanting to have it settled for them. That is not what they wanted. They wanted to trip Jesus up. And they thought they could do it because it was Jerusalem at Passover time. Jerusalem itself was ruled ideologically by the priests, who were the Sadducees, who were closely linked with the Herodians and shared many common values. And the Sadducees were collaborationists with Rome, and they were all for sending the taxes on up the line, because they derived their power by collaboration with Rome. But at Passover time, Jerusalem would also be full of people from up north, where Jesus came from and where he had been teaching all this time before he came down. And that was far from the temple, far from the center of the power of the Sadducees. And it was ruled by the Pharisees in the hearts of the people. The Pharisees were the big dogs in the north, and their opposition to taxes was very much shared by the citizenry of the north. And as the Sadducees were linked closely to the Herodians, the Pharisees were linked closely to the Zealots, who were ready to spark the revolution at any moment and throw Rome out. Here in this mixed crowd, southern and northern, of people singing Jesus' praises and hanging on his words. It is the hope of the Pharisees and the Herodians that if Jesus says, yes, of course we pay the taxes, that he will anger and alienate his northern supporters. But if he says, no, of course we should never pay taxes to Rome, that he will scare and alienate the citizens of Jerusalem, who know where the axe is going to fall if trouble gets stirred up over taxes with Rome. Whichever way he answers, we're going to cut his base of power and popularity in half. And that will make it much safer for us to proceed with our other plans for his soon coming death. And Jesus surprises them. He said, why do you ask me this question? Give me a denarii, we would say, a dollar. And someone hands over the coin. And he looks at it, holds it up, and he says, whose image and inscription are on the coin? And they said, Caesar's. Now, if it was the Herodians answering, they would just say, Caesar's. If it was the Pharisees answering, particularly if one of the Pharisees had to produce a Roman coin from his pocket, they would say, Caesar's. Having the coin stamped by Rome, bearing Caesar's image, was an admission. If Rome stamped the coin, whose is the coin? Why, it is Rome's. You hold it in trust for a moment, but it is Rome's. By the way, if you did not know that, it is true. Any dollar you have in your possession today, to whom does it really belong? It belongs to the government of the United States, who printed it. And any coin you have that bears their name actually belongs to them, who minted it. And you hold it in trust for the moment, but they can always ask for it back. It's Caesar's coin. It's Rome's coin. If they want it back, you know what you do? You give it to them. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. But render unto God that which is God's. We still have an obligation to our government, do we not? It is what Romans 13 says. We have an obligation to our government, for there is no power except those ordained by God. And the governments, as bad as they may be at times, are ordained by God. And despite themselves, they serve him. And they tamp down on the chaos. And they are supposed to encourage righteousness and discourage evil doing. Governments, I know, fail at these things. But in the meantime, we have an obligation to our governments. We are to be good citizens. Christians ought to be the best kind of citizens for any government. We pay our obligations, whether it's in the forms of taxes or other kinds of service. We have an obligation to the government. Render unto Caesar that which is due him. But what is due to God? Well, in this context, Let me tell you one thing that might have been a good thing to render unto God: to have paid enough actual attention to His Word, to the things that He had said and done through the prophets and over the course of many centuries worth of miracles and teaching and guidance and providence for the nation of Israel, to have paid enough attention to that to recognize the Messiah when He came, to have been in tune with God enough to see the grand final fulfillment of His big design for the redemption of men, to have walked with God in such a way as to naturally be prepared to walk with Him to the end. Boy, that would have been a fine thing for the Pharisees and the Herodians to have rendered up to God on this occasion. But they did not. What is due to God? Well, of course, money. And we talk a lot about money. We have to talk about money in the church. I try not to talk about it more than I have to. But everybody understands these realities. If we're going to have a place to meet and from which we operate a base of our operations, that costs money, does it not? If we're going to continue to feed the hungry and extend other kinds of service to the people of this community, that also costs money and sweat and labor. We'll be working in the garden in the morning. Everybody's welcome. If we're going to extend the Word of God as far across the globe as we can reach through our mission program, that also costs money. All these things cost money. If we're going to do them. Now let me ask you a question to which I think the answer is obvious. How many of you believe that God could do these things Himself without a single penny from us? Of course He could. Of course He could. There are reasons why He does not. One of them is free will. Another is, well, we did make this mess. We ought to have some part in cleaning it up. But a third and most important is this: God does not need your money. God does not want your money. God wants your heart. And where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. What we do with our money is a measure of our love, of our values. This is God's interest in your money. If you say, I will surrender this to God, that to God, and the other thing to God, but not my money, then you have made a choice. And Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. You must choose. It's either God or money. So money falls into this too. What is due to God? To have understood and paid attention to His Word and will. To surrender the contents of our wallets of all the blessings that He has poured upon us. What is due to God? How about just basic righteousness? Is that due God? Honesty? Kindness? All of these things are due to God and many others, but there's another way to answer the question. Do you remember what Jesus asked out loud? Whose image is on the coin? And the answer was Caesar's. So whose coin is it? So give to Caesar what is due to Caesar. His coin. No problem. That's what He said out loud. Let me tell you what He left hanging in the air unsaid. I am quite certain. Whose image is on the man? Whose image is on the man? Are we not cast in His image? How many of you believe this? The earth is the Lord's, and all that is upon it, and all those who dwell therein. Amen? Now somebody, let's break that down. The earth, the physical structure of the planet. We got it. Big ball of iron with dirt, magnetic fields, and all that. Whose is it? It's God's. All that is on it, the trees, the mountains, the streams, the rivers, all that. Whose is all that stuff? And all them that dwell therein. Who is that? No, who is it? Who is it? Isn't it us? All those who dwell therein? Isn't that Jim and Flo? Isn't it Larry and Bill? Isn't it Dwayne and Kathy? Isn't it Carol and Julie? Isn't it Mike and Archie? Isn't it Bill and Cindy? Who are these that dwell therein? And now I'm ready, Elijah. And to whom do they belong? Whose image is on the man? Caesar's image is on the coin. It's his coin. If he wants it back, you give it to him. God's image is on the man. We're his. What is, if you want to sum it up, rather than me continuing my catalog of the things that are due to God, what is due to God? You are. I am. Ourselves, our souls, our hearts, our minds. By the way, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. What is due to God? Everything that I am is due to Him. And there must be a reckoning made for those things that are due Him that have been withheld. If you think the IRS is a good collection agency, you haven't seen anything yet. There must be a reckoning made for that which is due to God, but has been withheld from Him. And for you and I, and for all who will accept it, the reckoning has been made. Because Jesus Christ paid the price of our withholdings. Paid it in full. My account is settled. The barriers I had imposed are removed. And I belong. I hope that you belong to God. I hope that everything you are, everything you hope, everything you have, every value you cherish, every step you take, breath you breathe, I hope that it is all His. Because if it is not, you are not rendering Him your dues. And if you are not, something can be done about it.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church with a quick visit to our website at christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.